little houses, but he'd never met the people. People on the side of the people always ended up disappointed in any case. They found that the people tended not to be grateful or appreciative or forward-thinking or obedient. The people tended to be small-minded and conservative and not very clever and were even distrustful of cleverness. And so the children of the revolution were faced with the age-old problem. It wasn't that you had the wrong kind of government, which was obvious, but that you had the wrong kind of people. As soon as you saw people as things to be measured, they didn't measure up. What would run through the streets soon enough wouldn't be a revolution or a riot. It'd be people who were frightened and panicking. It was what happened when the machinery of city life faltered, the wheels stopped turning, and all the little rules broke down. And when that happened, humans were worse than sheep. Sheep just ran. They didn't try to bite the sheep next to them. By sunset, a uniform would automatically be a target. Then it wouldn't matter where a watchman's sympathies lay. He'd be just another man in armour. "What?" he said, snapping back to the present.
"You're right, Sarge," said Corporal Colon.
"Hmm?" said Vimes as the real world returned.
"You were well away," said Fred, "staring at nothing. You ought to have had a proper sleep last night, Sarge."
"There's plenty of time to sleep in the grave," Vimes said, looking at the ranks of the watch.
"Yeah, I heard that, Sarge, but no one wakes you up with a cup of tea. I got them lined up, Sarge."
Fred had made an effort, Vimes could see. So had the men themselves. He'd never seen them looking quite so formal. Usually they had a helmet and a breastplate apiece. Beyond that, equipment was varied and optional, but today, at least, they looked neat. Shame about the heights. No man could easily inspect a row that included Wiglet at one end and Nancy Ball at the other. Wiglet was so short that he'd once been accused of navelling a sergeant, being far too short to eyeball anyone, while Nancy Ball was always the first man on duty to know when it was raining. You had to stand well back to get both of them into vision without eye strain.
"Well done, lads," he managed, and heard Rust coming down the stairs.
It must have been the first time the man had seen his new command in full. In the circumstances, he bore up quite well. He merely sighed. He turned to Vimes and said,
"I require something to stand on."
Vimes looked blank.
"Sir?" "I wish to address the men in order to inspire them and stiffen their resolve. They must understand the political background to the current crisis."
"Oh, we know all about Lord Winder being a loony, sir,"
said Wiglet cheerfully. Frost nearly formed on Rust's forehead. Vimes drew himself up.
"Squad dismiss!"
he shouted, and then leaned towards Rust as the men scuttled away.
"A quiet word, sir."
"Did that man really say?"
Rust began.
"Yes, sir."
"These are simple men, sir," said Vimes, thinking quickly. "Best not to disturb them, if you take my meaning."
Rust inserted this into his range of options. Vimes could see him thinking. It was a way out, and it suited his opinion of the watch in general. It meant that he hadn't been cheeked by a constable. He'd merely dealt with a simpleton.
"They know their duty, sir," Vimes added for reinforcement.
"Their duty, sergeant, is to do what they're told."
"Exactly, sir."
Rust stroked his moustache.
"There is something in what you say, Sergeant. And you trust them?"
"As a matter of fact, sir, yes."
"Hmm. We will make a circuit of the surrounding streets in 10 minutes. This is a time for action. Reports are disturbing. We must hold the line, Sergeant."
"And he believes it," thought Vimes. "He really does." The watchmen marched out into the afternoon sunshine, and did so badly. They were not used to marching. Their normal method of progress was the stroll, which is not a recognised military manoeuvre, or the frantic withdrawal, which is. In addition, the convection currents of prudent cowardice were operating in the ranks. There was a definite sideways component to each man's progress, as he sought to be in the middle. The watchmen had shields, but they were light wickerwork things intended to turn blows and deflect stones. They wouldn't stand up to anything with an edge. The advance, therefore, was by means of a slowly elongating huddle. Rust didn't notice. He had a gift for not seeing things he did not want to see, and not hearing things he did not want to hear. And what he saw was a barricade. Ankh Morpork wasn't really a city, not when the chips were down. Places like Dolly Sisters and Knapp Hill and Seven Sleepers had been villages once, before they were absorbed by the urban sprawl. On some level, they still held themselves separate. As for the rest, well, once you got off the main streets, it was all down to neighbourhoods. People didn't move around much. When tension was high, you relied on your mates and your family. Whatever was going down, you tried to make sure it wasn't going down your street. It wasn't revolution. It was quite the reverse. It was defending your doorstep. They were building a barricade in Whalebone Lane. It wasn't a particularly good one, made up mostly of overturned market stalls, a small cart, and quite a lot of household furniture, but it was a symbol. Rust's moustache bristled.
"Right in our faces," he snapped. "Absolute defiance of constituted authority, Sergeant. Do your duty."